All right, so we're diving into a case today that'll really make you think about just how far you can push things with contract law.
Yeah.
You know, where's the line? We're looking at Schreiber v. Olin Mills.
Oh, interesting.
It's 1989. Those portrait studios are like the hot thing.
Right.
Everyone's getting their pictures taken, and Olin Mills, well, they're all about that telemarketing, you know,
Sure.
much to this guy, Mr. Schreiber's annoyance.
Understandably.
So, you know, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Those unwanted calls, the frustration, right?
Yep.
But Schreiber, he decided, you know what? I'm going to get a little creative here.
He did. He did.
He sends them a letter, not just asking to be taken off the list, but basically saying, look, if you call me again, I'm considering that, like, you're hiring me for listening services at, get this, $100 an hour.
$100 an hour. That's a bold move.
Right. So they called him again.
Oh no.
Not once, but twice.
Double down.
Yeah, so Shriver, he's like, all right, game on.
Oh, this is good.
Sends them an invoice for like $479.
Wow, so he's serious.
Oh, yeah. And well, things escalated, ended up in court.
Of
So
course.
was this like genius, you know, turning annoyance into profit?
Right.
Or was it like a legal, you know, misfire?
Total flop.
So that's what we're going to get into today, right? Can a strongly worded letter actually be a binding contract?
I love it.
Let's find out.
Let's do it.
So to set the stage here, we've got Olin Mills, big portrait studio chain. We've talked about them.
Yep, they were everywhere.
They just keep calling Schreiber, even though he's like, stop.
That was annoying.
And then there's this tactic he uses, right? The letter,
Yeah.
trying to flip the script, saying those calls are like, hey, you're accepting my offer for these services.
Almost like a reverse psychology thing.
Exactly.
Clever.
So let's get into some contract law basics here, break it down.
Okay, yeah.
So first, we've got offer and acceptance, right? Contract 101.
Foundation.
But it's not always so simple.
Right.
Can a demand for money really be an offer?
That's the question.
And did Olin Mills really need to hire Schreiber by calling back?
That's what the court had to figure out.
Then there's this thing called consideration.
Right.
Basically, was there a real exchange of value happening?
Yeah, like a trade-off.
Unwanted calls for $100 an hour. Does that hold up?
I mean, it's creative.
It is,
But
legally.
that's the thing, right?
That's the gray area.
And we can't forget about mutual assent. That's like the meeting of the minds.
Both parties on the same
They
page.
both agree to the same thing.
That's key.
And here's the big thing. Contracts can't just be one-sided. It takes clear agreement from everyone involved.
Absolutely, all parties got to be in there.
So what did the court say?
All right, let's get to the verdict.
Pennsylvania Superior Court. They sided with Olin Mills.
Oh, so Schreiber lost.
He did, and here's why.
Okay, why?
They looked at that letter and said, "This is mostly a cease and desist."
Makes sense.
It's like, stop calling me. Not really a genuine offer for a service.
More like a threat than an offer.
Yeah.
And Olin Mills, well, they clearly didn't want to hire Schreiber for
They
any
still
new
wanted to sell their pictures.
portraits. Yeah, that was their business.
Right.
So the court's saying there's no real meeting of the minds here,
Not a true agreement
which
or
means
contract.
no contract,
Case closed.
at least for that part.
Right.
So Schreiber, you know, he tried to be clever, but the court wasn't buying
Yeah, clever doesn't always equal legal,
Definitely not in this
right?
case.
But you gotta admit, it makes you think about those fundamentals of contract law in a whole new way.
It does. It really highlights how important clarity is, especially for us, you know, in the legal world.
Absolutely. If you want a contract to actually hold up in court, your intentions have got to be crystal clear, no room for doubt.
You got to spell it out, use precise language so there's no way to misinterpret what you mean.
And avoid ambiguity like the plague. Courts are going to look past any fancy wording to get to the heart of the agreement.
Like, what did the parties actually intend?
Exactly. Substance over style, always.
So how does this apply to, you know, our listeners out there, lawyers, law students, everyone dealing with contracts?
Well, it shows that contract law is everywhere. You know, these principles, they pop up in so many situations we see in our practices.
Like, it's not just some abstract concept in a textbook.
Right. It's real world stuff.
So let's talk about some real world examples.
Sure.
Let's say you're drafting a contract for a client.
Okay.
You need to make sure every single detail, every little thing is spelled out meticulously.
Leave no room for loopholes, right?
Exactly. Because those loopholes, those misunderstandings, that's where disputes come from.
And lawsuits? Nobody wants that.
And on the flip side, if you're the one reviewing a contract someone else drafted, you got to be super vigilant.
Scrutinize every word.
Absolutely. Any ambiguous terms, red flag, could be trouble for your client.
It's all about protecting your client's interests.
Like they say, the devil's in the details.
That's for sure.
And this case, it really drives that point home. But it makes you wonder, what if Schreiber had been way more specific in that letter?
Oh, interesting. Like a super detailed service agreement.
Yeah. Laid out every single term for his listening services.
The rate, the scope, the duration, everything.
All of it.
Would that have changed things?
That's the question, right? Mm. Could that level of detail have made the court see it as a real offer?
It's possible. If it was incredibly specific, it might have looked more like a legitimate business proposition.
And then if Olin Mills still called after getting that hyper-specific letter.
Knowing all the terms.
Right, knowing the price and everything.
Hmm. That could be seen as accepting the offer, even without saying we accept outright.
It'd be like saying, okay, Mr. Schreiber, we get it. You're charging us $100 an hour to listen. We're fine with that.
And those calls will be like implied acceptance, you know?
Yeah.
Actions speak louder than words kind of thing.
But even then, the court would still have to figure out what was Olin Mills' intent.
Right. Do they really mean to enter a contract for listening services?
Or were they just being stubborn telemarketers, ignoring Schreiber's demands?
It's a tricky situation.
It's a legal puzzle.
You got to look at all the pieces, all the communication, the actions, to see if there was a real meeting of the minds.
That's what makes contract law so interesting, right?
Definitely. Lots of gray areas.
Which is where, you know, good legal analysis comes in.
Absolutely. You got to break it down, think critically.
So this case, it's kind of like those unilateral contract situations we talked about before.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like someone offers a reward for finding their lost dog.
Right.
If you find the dog, you've accepted that offer just by doing it, by performing the action.
You've fulfilled the terms.
Exactly. But in Schreiber, the court didn't see Olin Mills' calls as deliberately accepting his offer.
They were just trying to sell portraits, business as usual.
Not trying to hire him for listening services.
Different intentions.
So even though Schreiber was creative, his plan to, you know, turn those calls into cash.
A money-making scheme.
It didn't work because the court said there was no valid contract.
No true agreement.
Which is a good reminder. You can't trick someone into a contract.
It has to be genuine. Both sides got to be on board.
It's all about that meeting of the minds.
Can't force it.
Yeah, it's like a reminder to be really clear when you're making any kind of deal, you know? You can't just assume the other person's thinking the same thing you are.
Exactly. And, you know, it makes you wonder, what if, hypothetically speaking, Schreiber's letter had been, like, super detailed? Like, imagine if it laid out everything about his listening services.
Okay, so he's got the $100 an hour, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, what else? What would that look like?
I'm talking the whole nine yards, soup of the services, how long it lasts, payment terms, yeah. You know, like a formal agreement.
Everything spelled out. And then Olin Mills, knowing all that, still keeps calling him, even though he said, cut it out.
Right. Could that have actually made a contract? It's a fascinating thought experiment.
It seems like a much stronger argument for Schreiber, doesn't it? Like, they know the price, they keep calling. That's got to mean something.
It could. You know, acceptance by conduct, the court might call it. They're basically saying, we're willing to pay to keep calling you.
Hard to say they didn't know the terms then.
Right.
Or that they didn't mean to be bound by him if they kept dialing.
It would be. But even then, you know how it is with the law. There'd still be that question of intent.
So did Olin Mills really think they were entering a contract for this listening service thing? Or were they just being, I don't know, pushy telemarketers who didn't care what Schreiber wanted?
Exactly. And that's what I love about contract law. It's rarely just black and white. So many little things to think about, even in a case that seems pretty simple at first.
That shows how complex things can get.
For sure. You got to look at all the circumstances, what Olin Mills meant to do. Were they acting in good faith? Did their actions really line up with agreeing to Schreiber's terms?
So much to unpack.
It is. That's why we need skilled lawyers to analyze all this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So bottom line, Schreiber tried to get paid for those calls, and it didn't work out.
Nope. The court didn't see enough there for a real contract.
But it's a good lesson for all of us. Mm-hmm. You can't just trick someone into an agreement.
Got to be a genuine meeting of the minds, right?
Both sides had to be on the same page, which is a good reminder as we wrap things up here. Clarity, being precise. That's what matters when you're making deals.
Couldn't agree more. Any kind of agreement, you got to make sure everyone understands what they're getting into. Otherwise, they're just asking for trouble down the line.
And who wants that? So until next time, folks, keep those contracts tight. Keep thinking critically. And maybe, just maybe, if you get enough telemarketing calls, come up with your own genius plan.
Hey, stranger things have happened, but make sure you run it by your lawyer first.
Good advice. We'll see you on the next deep dive.